Today, it's about SDRs, contour, shift, noise reduction, DNR, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Next on Live Free and Ham. Hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham Podcast. It's our bi-weekly show where we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we are excited to have you here, and we appreciate the support, and thanks for tuning in to tonight's episode. So let's kind of get into the show. I'm your host, call sign, or host, Eric, I should say my name first, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my favorite co-hosts,
Paul, N1OG.
And Todd, still a general, W1STJ.
All right, cool. Well, as always, before we like to get into our topic of discussion tonight, we're just going to catch up on a few things. As always, our storefront is up, and you can go over to livefreeandham.com/shop and check out all of our great merch that we have there. Paul is sporting, once again, the Live Free and Ham camo hat this time. And I think that's a special one. We won't reveal that one because we can't offer call signs quite yet on the print. I'm obviously wearing our original gangster, black and blue hat there. And as always, we appreciate everybody who heads up there and buys merch because it helps support the show, keeps us running and moving the needle forward. So as always, we already had our monthly live stream with Carlos. If you haven't had a chance to go check that out, please definitely go back and pick that one up. That was a great show. We all had some fun on that one, and a lot of amazing, interesting things were revealed, like man crushes that I wasn't aware of. So, it was a good show. So you got to go check that out if you want to figure out who had the man crushes there. And
the dude jumps out of airplanes.
Good working airplanes. Let's establish that, please. As always. So those were definitely good times. And, we will be coming up into June too, as well. So stay tuned for that. We got some great guests lined up, and we will probably be doing a couple of live streams that month because we will be doing summer field day and probably streaming live right from the field day site there. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. And we got a couple of new things to add to the show. Our first one is what we're calling.
Doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good. Good. Good.
Good. Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
All right. Well, this is our segment we're calling Do Good. This is where we want to start a new segment and take a kind of a different spin. We kind of all felt that, when you ask about, or ask any ham for that matter, about joining a club, you get 55 different reasons not to. So, instead, we want to take a different approach and showcase the good, those things, those clubs that are doing great activities and getting people engaged and involved in the hobby. So we are going to start a segment called Do Good, but we're going to reach out to you guys, our listeners. And if you've got a club or you've got, or you're part of a club and they are doing some awesome stuff, whether they're out in the community or they're just doing, events to promote the hobby and just build, great long lasting friendships and allowing people to be able to get in and learn more about ham radio, then we want to showcase those. So we're just asking if you've got a club and or you're part of a club and you want to submit something, please just send us an email over at livefreeandham@gmail.com and just put in the subject line, do good, and let us know what your club's up to. And, we'll definitely want to spread the word and share it on our next episode. We definitely want to continue to promote you and the clubs in and around your area and show that clubs are good and they definitely are doing some great stuff to make the hobby take off. So, with that, we're looking forward to, hopefully that will keep taking off. And so with, that, we'll just keep an eye out, in our email for you guys, and we'll be able to showcase your club next month. All right. So, with that, we're going to dive into our usual excitement right after that.
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
All All right. Yeah, you've heard it here. This is where we help Todd study for his extra class license. And each episode, we always pick three questions from the extra class question pool to test his knowledge and hope he gets his upgrade. If you'd like to follow along, you can always head over to hamstudy.org. It's a great resource to help you prepare for your test and is recommended by 3 out of 4 volunteer examiners. As always, the ADA wasn't available for comment at the time of the survey. Without any further delay, I'm going to hand it over to our VE Quizmaster. Take it away, Paul.
All right. Well, Todd, we're sticking to sub-element 4 just to make sure that you get some good practice with this before we move on. So the first question is, what is the purpose of the preselector in a communications receiver? Is it A, to allow selection of the optimum RF amplifier device? B, to store often used frequencies? C, to increase rejection of signals outside the desired band? Or is it D, to provide a range of AGC time constants?
Tough one. All right, for the record, I haven't been studying the last week or so.
Well, the good news is this isn't confession, so continue on.
All right. Oh, boy. I don't remember this one, but let's see. All right. I'm going to say C.
C would be correct, to increase rejection of signals outside the desired band.
Nice. My memory, that's good. It must, stuff must be sticking in my head. It's good.
Well, that's what we hope, right? Right. Here's question number 2.
All right. What is the significance of voltmeter sensitivity expressed in ohms per volt? Is it A, the full-scale reading of the voltmeter multiplied by ohms per volt rating will indicate the input impedance of the voltmeter? B, when used as an ammeter, the full-scale reading in amps divided by ohms per volt rating will determine the size of the shunt needed. C, when used as a galvanometer, the reading in volts multiplied by ohms per volt rating will determine the power drawn by the device under test. Or D, when used as an ohm meter, the reading in ohms divided by the ohms per volt rating will determine the voltage applied to the circuit.
Well, I think it's either A or D. I'm going to go with A.
Right. And A is the correct answer. Nice. Yes, the full-scale reading of the voltmeter multiplied by its ohms per volt rating will indicate the input impedance of the voltmeter.
It is sticking, my friend, like glue.
Well done. All right, for the third and final question of the day, what is one type of electrical interference that might be caused by a nearby personal computer? Is it A, a clicking noise at intervals of a few seconds? B, a whining type noise that continually pulses off and on? C, the appearance of unstable modulated or unmodulated signals at specific frequencies? Or D, a loud AC hum in the audio output of your station receiver?
I'm going to go with D.
The correct answer is C, the appearance of unstable modulated or unmodulated signals at specific frequencies.
It's the right answer that has no noise coming out of any speakers whatsoever.
And unfortunately, for you, Todd, I didn't get the sound effect buttons going again, so I didn't have the
nice.
I didn't have Meatloaf queued up for you.
Yeah, I was not looking for the Meatloaf song.
It's your reprieve from this. Right. So, although you know, you've done two pretty good, man. You know, the past 2 episodes, you scored 3 out of 3, and this one, you know, 2 out of 3. So you're still kind of, you know, keeping pace. You know, much not too bad. So, you know, give me a pat on the back. You're still sticking with it. All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. So if you're on the journey to studying for your technician general like Todd, general or extra like Todd, a license, in that case, hamstudy.org is an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And we also want to say, if you've recently received your license or you upgraded, you know, we want to know. So if you want to be recognized on our next episode, you know, for all that hard work and effort, you know, always can email us livefreeandham@gmail.com. And we're going to surely mention you on the next show. So, you know, make sure you get a chance to send those in, because we definitely want to hear about your successes and celebrate you as much as we can. All right. So with that, let's kind of do our ham radio week catch up in our usual format. You know, Paul, how's your ham radio week been?
Ham radio week has been good, I guess. I didn't get to play a lot of ham radio per se this week. I did make a few contacts here and there. But the new N1OG stickers have arrived. And there's... Yes. There it is. There's a sneak preview for those that get the video. Mm-hmm. And so I passed a few of those on to you for the sticker packs and whatnot. And yesterday morning, I was pleasantly surprised. And it was my son came home from across the street, my in-laws. And he goes, hey, Dad, there's a radio on the stoop. I said, what? There's a radio on the stoop? He goes, yeah, there's a radio on the stoop. And so he brings it in. And sure enough, the ham radio gods, a.k.a. Ryan, swung by my house and dropped me off a little FT3D.
Before he left to go to his, where he's off in a tropical island now.
He's in Aruba, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's in Aruba. Wow, that's impressive, man. You know, is it out of the box or is that still in the box?
Oh no, we're out of the box. We're all programmed up.
Very cool.
It's a cool radio. Yeah. My favorite HD.
I haven't quite gotten APRS functioning yet, but I'll figure it out. But yeah, it's pretty neat.
It's pretty. If you download the Yaesu standard software, the one you get off their website, yeah, I think you can do some of the major programming features from that. So if you need a file for that or you need a couple of tips, let me know, because I've already banged my head several times on configuring APRS wrong to get it right. So yeah, cool. Well, welcome and congratulations on the new edition.
Yeah, thank you.
You're going to have a bigger belt now. or tell those Baofangs to go sit on the shelf. One of the two. Cool. All right. Well, you know, and to go back, circle around the sticker packs, we will be getting those up on the store soon. We're just waiting for Todd to get his stickers together.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I like my logo. I've been thinking about it. I found an app that does AI logos. So I don't know if I want to. It says I can have like a 3-day trial and then it'll charge me like $40. So maybe I'll see what it comes up with.
Did you pay for the existing logo?
Yeah, I had a guy do it, and I don't know. It just, for some reason, it just doesn't do it for me.
Well, you know, if all in all, you know, we can always come to your rescue. So we will we'll keep.
Hey, if anyone's watching and you guys have an idea for my radio, so STJ stands for St. John. That's my little heaven on earth, where I love to go and relax, and I become a totally different person. I'm like a beach bum, and I don't care about nothing when I'm there. So that's where my call sign came from. So I was trying to integrate St. John into it, and I don't know, it just didn't work out the way I wanted it to. So I'm coming up with something different, I think.
You heard it here. You know, help Todd get his logo, and we can get him stickers soon and get that into the storefront there. But cool on that. So anyway, well, over to you, Todd. I mean, how has your ham radio week been?
Well, I took a last minute trip to Arkansas, and had some good weather. No, not Arizona, Arkansas.
Okay. So I'm sure.
Wish it was Arizona. I probably like Arizona better. Basically, flew into Little Rock, drove an hour and a half south. There is nothing south of Little Rock in my experience. Did find a park on the way back, stopped, and activated. I think I got 2021. I haven't put it in the thing yet. So those who worked me, if you're watching this, I'll do it tonight. I'll get you in there. And it was tough with the bands. It 20 meters, I got 20, but it was tough. It was it wasn't hard to hear people, a lot of noise, just not strong signals. And then to top it off, as I'm pulled into this nice little parking lot, I'm all set up. These teenage girls show up, they get in the car, they start smoking weed and doing like some kind of bake in the car thing. And I'm like, this must be Arkansas. Cool. So I did my activation, headed back to Little Rock, and was starving, hadn't eaten all day. And they're like, oh, go down to the riverfront. There's great restaurants and bars down there and a lot of good food. So I cruised down to the riverfront. Well, all of a sudden I go down there and everyone's in like country outfits. Short skirts, wow, tank tops, cowboy hats, cowboy boots. I'm like, what is going on in this place? Well, I guess the Zac Brown Band was playing at their little arena. So this guy who's starving can't get a seat at a bar or a table till 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a good story though. So the girl who's probably not watching this, but who was the hostess, really did me a favor and got me a table because she knew I was starving and being patiently waiting just for something. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, I get in the car and I got lucky. I pulled, like, as I was driving looking for a parking spot, someone pulled out and I pulled right in, right in front of the place where I was going to eat. So afterwards, I get in my car and it's a rental car and, you know, I don't know, just trying to figure out where the windshield wipers are, just getting settled in, putting the GPS in to figure out how to get back to my hotel. And this guy comes up to me and he says, are you moving? I said, yeah, give me a second. Then he asked me again, he goes, are you moving? I said, yeah. I go, do you want me to wait until you get your car? And he goes, are you an Uber? So I'm hearing, are you moving? He's asking if I'm an Uber. I'm like, no, I'm not an Uber. He goes, we've got cash. You mind driving us to the concert? Now it's like 8:30. Like the concert started at 7. I'm like, dude, the concert. He goes, we're too good for those opening bands. He goes, can you just bring me and my friends? So it was like two couples and like a third wheel guy. So that I said, yeah, get it. I'm driving by there anyway. So, and it was kind of raining. So they pile into my car and they're talking to me and they're all drunk and having a good old time. And they're like, oh, it's so nice of you to drive us. And I asked them, I said, you guys by chance have an extra ticket? So I tried, right? So then as I pull up to the stadium or the arena or whatever it is, the venue, they start trying to throw cash at me. Like all these, the girls in the back, like here, here. I'm like, listen, I don't need your money. Go buy yourself another beer or something. Have fun. Thank you. Cause it's been great. So I just went back to the hotel and I just thought it was kind of funny. Cause these guys are just like, the guy's like, are you moving? And he's asking if I'm an Uber. And then they're like, are you from California? Cause I had a California plane. So I'm like, nope, not from California.
Not from the North.
Like every time I go down south, like I have like some weird thing happens to me, you know, like
you attract them, Todd. You attract
them. I don't know what it is, but going back to ham radio, I did work. I probably will never be back in Arkansas. I just don't see myself ever going there again. Maybe for work. I don't know. So I did get a park and that'll be another state activated. So
we pretty psyched about business that. Cards with Live Free and Ham on them. That's all. When you hand them out, you know, you can say, you know, here's your
yeah,
your payment.
Yeah. Just check out my podcast.
Come on, subscribe. Let's go.
Oh, instead of saying like, oh, what do you do for work? Oh, I do probation work. And then like, meanwhile, the guy's like got an open beer in the front seat of my car. He's like, oh, I'm like, dude, don't worry. I only work with kids. But I could be like, listen, you know, I'm a podcaster. You know, we're getting really popular. You might want to check me out. Tell your friends.
I sort of know Joe Rogan. Sort of.
Yeah, me and Joe go way back, and he started me out on my studio and everything. So yeah, that's my ham radio. I got a next week. We're heading to a tournament in New York, so I'm hoping I'm going to be in Saratoga. So we're going to be there. We leave Friday, come back Monday. So I'm hoping with all these, depending on how many games they win and how that works, I'll be able to sneak out and get a park because I don't have New York yet. Not that I couldn't drive out there and get one, but since I'm going to be out there, I'm going to bring my gear.
Well, see if you can hook up with N2MAK and we'll do
activation. Yeah, I'm gonna reach out to him and let him know. Like I said, it really depends on how the kids do, like if they win or lose. And I found out today that they're using the USAA bats, which have a little bit more pop. So the coach went out and bought a couple bats for the kids.
Yep.
He goes, we have to have a fair advantage, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They'll fly pitchers in from the Northwest on chopper and, you know, overnight. Yeah. You know, that whole ordeal.
Hey, the kid today, I'll be telling you, these kids, they were down. They were getting smoked. And these kids never gave up. And they came back and beat this team by one. And it was a nail biter. And they deserve that win.
You got Kenny Powers on your team?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, outside of that, I guess for me, man, it's been a whirlwind of a week, but I'd say I think I got a chance to, not this week, but prior week, a couple of activations. I did just a recent video on one that'll go off on the Tuesday night ham radio playlist. So if you haven't been on that, you can head over to my channel and click that playlist. It's a great group of guys and folks that put together you know, YouTube ham radio specific content right before the ham radio clubhouse. So it's always fun to watch what they've got going. So I've got, I think, one video at least going on that one. And then I've got to finish up a couple other videos that I sort of stepped on my own, we'll say, dick on this one and screwed myself and saying I would have a video out. So I got to get it going. But, you know, keep your eyes peeled for that one. And, you know, hopefully it will be a good one. It's on the Farajay and the NFED, the Ed Fong roll-up head-to-head. So everyone's interested in seeing what comes out of it. So it's more of a real-world test, which, you know, basically going to be, you know, applying wind, rain, and fire to see how they stand up. You'll have to figure out which ones I go with. Well, looking forward to doing that.
And Eric also has kind of put it on me to buy the Res 80 antenna so he could test it out against his, what's that coil called?
Mad Dog Coil.
Mad Dog Coil.
We'll do a three-way matchup, the Wolf River Coil, the Res, and the Mad Dog, and see which one comes out, you know, is a standout.
So I'm like, yeah, you gotta come over and bring that Mad Dog coil over to make sure it all fits and see how it works. I want to try it out. And he goes, well, you could buy the Res 80 and we could do a comparison.
See, always spending Todd's money.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. So yeah, outside of that, you know, we're getting back into the swing of things now that we're done with some projects of work and whatnot. And, you know, looking forward to kind of doing a little bit more ham radio and kind of settling back into the normal schedule. But so with that, we are going to dive in kind of into, you know, our topic of tonight. So we, you know, been touching upon HTs and mobile rigs and all of those components for the new ham and, you know, new technicians that are out there. So, you know, we figured what's the next logical step, you know, well, obviously we talked about Mike Fright with our last episode. And that one was a really good one. And hopefully, if you haven't caught that one, you can go back and check that one out. You know, I got a lot of good feedback from folks on that one. And, you know, it was definitely a good episode in my book. But we're going to talk along the lines of HF. So if you're new to ham radio, maybe you got a technician license or you're studying for your general, and you're kind of like thinking, all right, well, I want to get into HF. I want to start doing stuff. And you know, you kind of obviously look at the myriad of stuff that's out there. And you're probably, you know, getting a little overwhelmed and like trying to figure out which way to go. And if you talk to one person, you know, they're, you know, they have their own opinions of what radios you should use and someone else does. And then you go on the interwebs and forget it. And you're pretty much, you know, going to get a boatload of, you know, different opinions. So, you know, we're going to kind of try to break it down a little bit for you tonight. And, you know, we're going to try to help you along the way because they're obviously some really good things you can learn from the, you know, very what we call introductory radios that are non-SDR to, you know, getting in the full blown, you know, SDR radios. If you, you know, you're the type of person that just likes to throw money at the problem, you know, we hopefully will have a solution for you there. But, you know, again, it's really, you know, we're going to kind of give you the nuts and bolts and help you kind of decipher what direction you need to take. When, you know, going out and purchasing your first ham radio, because not all of us like us have the luxury of heading over to HRO to test any radio that they'd like, as long as they like, until they close the store. But, you know, with that, you know, let's kind of get into it. So, guys, you know, we're going to take this kind of a few ways, but what's your first experience? So let's just talk about our own personal experiences, you know, with you getting your first HF radio. You know, what was that like? What did you kind of get? You know, what led you that way? Was it a, you know, a hand-me-down kind of thing? You know, was it a borrow type thing? You know, kind of talk with that. Who wants to kind of go with that first?
I got to say, I got really, really lucky. When, you know, so I got my tech in February and then my general in March, of 21. So it was right away that I was bumped up to general. And I was shopping used because I didn't have the funds to buy anything new. Plus I didn't know what I wanted.
Right.
But, you know, I got really, really lucky. Somebody in the club had an ICOM 706 Mark IIG. It's an all-in-one, fairly good-sized radio. It's, you know, relatively small. And I think he wanted like $400 for it. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I jumped on it. And I honestly, I couldn't have been happier. You know, there are so many different HF radios out there, and I probably could have found one that, you know, I also would have liked, but for the price, I absolutely fell in love with the radio, and it did everything, you know, VHF, UHF, and HF. So for somebody on a budget, you know, something like that where it was used, you know, maybe you can get real lucky like I did and find a fantastic deal.
So with that 706 Mark IIG, like, did you find, I mean, obviously it's got a lot of cool features. Is there like any one kind of like thing that was like, I mean, obviously the price, you know, made you pull the trigger, but was it like, you know, when you first started out there, you know, looking for HF gear, did you kind of think, you know, hey, I just want HF only, and, you know, or were you thinking you're trying to get everything you can for your dollar's worth type thing?
Well, so as I admitted in the Mike Fried issue episode, the big thing was I wanted to do digital. Right. Cause I was the serial digital operator. I wanted digital.
We want nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Right. But so the radio came with a signal link. And so it was super, super simple and easy to get connected to the computer for digital. And then, yeah, FT8, you know, JS8, Winlink. I just got into it all. I loved doing digital. And it was a great start. It really was.
Now it was a platform very relatively easy for you to ramp up into.
Yeah. I mean, it's not super feature rich, but, it does have some decent filtering in it. You know, but the ease of use was a big thing. You know, going through the menus is really easy. You know, and it's just an easy to use radio, and it works. So.
All right. Well, that, you know, that, I didn't go that route, but I went similar to that route. But so how about you, Todd? Where did you kind of land with your HF stuff? Because you kind of had an interesting experience, obviously, you shared in the past with your technician to general transition, but, you know, what led you to where you kind of bought what was your first radio?
The DX10. Mm-hmm. So what happened is, I was looking at the Yaesu 991A cause it was like a shack in the box. And my reason behind that is I could do everything with one radio. It kind of fit, and I could take my 400 and put it in my car. And then Eric, who spends my money, says, "You really want to check out the 300. And I did. And we put that in my car, and I love that radio. I like it even better than the 400. It's a great radio. Definitely, if you want a mobile rig, that's the one I would pick. Everything is good about it. So anyway, was going to get the 991A, but now I already had, you know, the 400 in my shack. So I'm like, So my buddy, Craig, N1S FST, says, "You don't want the 991A. You want the DX10. Now he has a 991A, and that's why I was going to get it, because he told me it was a great radio. It would be perfect for me. And then he tells me, no. The DX10 just came out, and he says, "You need to get that." He goes, "It's way better. You've already got the VHF, HF, or yeah, V, VHF, UHF. This is what you want. You won't be disappointed. So I did my research and I go around and I went to the candy store and I played around with both of them and the ICOM 7300 because I wasn't opposed to that either. And then I was looking at the prices and everything else, and all of a sudden it just went on sale. And that's when I just pulled the trigger. I said, well, I'm getting it. And I liked it. I mean, it was the one I was going to get, but it was a little high. I was waiting to see if a sale came in. And I was talking with Eric. He says, well, you might want to just get the 891 and you could start, you know, messing around with that at home and get used to HF and then get it. So I saved the money on the DX10 and I bought both of them because I needed a portable radio.
Now, I had no control over that decision-making process. I just, here's the 891. We do POTA, so you might want to have an 891. And, you know, yeah.
So then, you know, I love my DX10. It's a great radio. And so then GoBox starts coming into my head. Now I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get the 991, throw that bad boy in a GoBox, and there you go, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at the price, and then I think it was Ryan.
Probably Ryan.
Ryan, who says, you know, he goes, you know, Todd, buy once, cry once. He goes, with the amount of money you'd spend on a 991, you could put the DX10 in a Go Box and have a kick-ass Go Box and just get a Flex radio for just a little bit more money. And you probably won't be disappointed.
All right, well, let's hold the train there. So before we really go crazy here, because we definitely want to talk about some of that.
So this story will continue.
Yeah, very much so. All right, cool. So it sounds like basically between both you guys, it was very much price conscious initially, with the idea that, you know, hey, looking for the best I can get for what I'm laying down for cash. So I think that was sort of kind of my approach, but I did it a little different. I kind of got my ticket way back in 93. So a lot of my radios were pre-SDR whatsoever. So everything was just all analog gauges, all knobs, everything. So that's kind of where I kind of cut my teeth on when I was younger and was just, you know, what I was used to. So when I got back in the hobby in 2000 or so and got the General, I was like, all right, I got to get my first HF gear. And then my first HF thing was like, I can't buy something for the house because there's no space. I've got HOA restrictions on and on. There's just, you know, it was too difficult to kind of get something set up that I could play with whenever I wanted to play radio. And that was my biggest thing, is I wanted to play HF as much as I could to get better at, you know, doing HF. Because as we all know, when you get on HF for the first couple of times, you're just like fumbling over every word. You're screwing things up. You're saying QRN versus QRM, you know, or it's QSB, and you know, everything's all upside down and every which way. So I wanted to have some time to practice and whatnot. So I was like, all right, I'm looking for an 891 because I figured, okay, I can have it with me. I can take it with me. I can go wherever I want. And at that point, I still hadn't learned about POTA yet. But the 891 looked like it was a good fit. I was never going to make it a shack radio because I always knew it was just, you know, not going to, you know, be in a shack or in my own shack, which, you know, long story short, is not the case any longer. But so I bought the 891 and loved the thing to death. And that's when POTA kind of took off. And then at that point, I was just like, oh, I love this radio. This is great. But at the same time, I felt like I was missing out, you know, because I already had friends who were like, oh, yeah, you know, did you, you know, make that contact at like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, you know, with so-and-so, or, you know, and whatever it was, I didn't want to have to set up my gear all the time. So I was longing for that. And so my first official, I'd say, HF home base rig was the 450. And if everybody knows what the 450, it's Yaesu's 450 analog. It's their first DSP. And I got that for pretty much exactly what the model number costs. So, you know, I got it from a steal from a ham, very good friend of ours that we all share. And same with the 891, because, you know, it's funny, whenever I bumped into him, I'm like, hey, I'm looking for an 891. He's like, oh, funny you mentioned that. I have an 891. I'm like, well, how much you want? I'm like, well, I'll give you a good deal. And of course it was a good deal. So I get the 891 and I'm like, hey, I'm looking for a 450. Hey, same thing. You know, hey, I happen to have a 450 from an estate sale, you know, it's brand new in a box. I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, my first real true home base HF rig was that 450, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit in some of the details, but it was a lot like, you know, where you expressed, Paul, like very minimal functionality, but enough to get an understanding of all of the stuff I tested on, you know, of like, what the heck does contour mean? And what is you know, digital signal processing, and how do you, you know, deal with a band pass of 3 kilohertz, and, you know, all of that things, you know, helped translate, you know, to physical real world knobs, because I could adjust it and see what it sounded like, and, you know, all that other stuff. But I think for me, the biggest thing, price point was one that we all share. But for me, it was, I wanted tactile feel. I wanted knobs. I wanted just like a counter display. I wanted something basic, but not like that. Well, like I had to throw more money at to be able to get some of the basic filtering with it. And so that's kind of where that 450 kind of tossed itself into there. So I had that for a while. So, all right. Well, so from that standpoint, so we all kind of have our own little rigs. What, you know, what one feature with your 706 Mark II, Paul, did you really just like, that was like one of those kill, we'll call the killer feature of the 706 that really just kept coming back to the radio?
Well, so, I mean, like I said, I liked it so much, I ended up buying a second one. And that was my first portable radio. And so I had, yeah. I had one that stayed on the desk, and that was my home radio. And then I had another one that was my portable. And it actually worked out well that, that I bought two of them, because the one that was on the desk, I had a wiring issue or something. There was serious RFI, and I want to say I was probably running the amp.
we won't get into it.
Yeah, you know, 1500 watts. Sometimes the radio doesn't like it. But I smoked the cat control. So it's a 3.5 millimeter jack port in the back that does the cat controls. Something went wrong with it. I still haven't figured it out. But all I did was I just switched the radios, and I took the good one, and I put it on the desk so that I can continue doing digital. And then the other one, I don't do digital in the field, so it didn't matter that I couldn't hook it up to the computer. But it was just the simplicity and the reliability of the radio. I liked the size and the weight of it. It's a little bit bigger than the 891, you know, but it's also got the VHF UHF in it. So, you know, it's expected that it should be a little bit bigger. But it's good.
That was 100 watts too, right?
Yep. It's 100 watts. It's got the removable faceplate. You know, so you can mount it in your car or whatever. You know, it's just, yeah, it's just an old radio. I think they stopped making them in 99, but they're still out there plentifully. And ask anybody that's ever owned one, they'll tell you they love it.
Yep. Yeah, I've heard very raving reviews of the 706, and very, in comparison to the 891, they're probably toe-to-toe in pricing. I mean, but in essence, obviously, the only thing with the 891 you get is, you know, this capability that's still being produced. So, you know, that's kind of the only difference between those two radios, but they both have probably similar, well, almost similar. I mean, obviously, you don't have the VHF, UHF stuff that the 706 really provides, which is really, you know, a plus in my book. But so, all right, cool. So, you know, with Todd, I mean, obviously, you dived in the DX10 hard.
Yeah. Well, when I looked at the DX10, it wasn't like this all happened like one day. I'm like, I'm going to get it, and it went on sale. And this is what I would suggest any new ham that's just got like their general or looking for thing. I watched so many YouTube videos on comparisons between different radios, guys that have had tons of radios, what they thought of it, the DX10 versus the 991A, the DX10 versus the 7300, I mixed and matched. I watched everything to see. And one of the things that kind of, in the beginning, before I got the DX10, that I was contemplating was the ease of use. So I kind of looked at it as like, you know, an Apple computer back in the day when I had an Apple computer was very easy to use. It was like kind of like it did, like you think, well, this is how I would do it, and it would just do it, right? And it's kind of like, you know, I know the Google phones and the Apple phones are pretty much the same, but I like the way the ICOM had the menu and how easy it was, and then the Yaesu is not as right, it's not as modern, I guess, right. Mm-hmm. So then again, talking to people, they're like, listen, they're like, once you start playing with it, it's going to be just as easy as any other radio, right? Because you're going to know where everything is,
right?
You know, so I did weigh that, and you know, and the 7300 was such a popular radio. Like, everyone has that radio. A lot of people have it, right? And it's good. I mean,
yes,
it's a good radio. So, you know, I kind of went, and no one had a DX10 that I knew of at the time, and I was like, you know, and it said it had great had a great receiver in it, which you know, a little bit better than it was rated. I think it was rated like the top three back when it came out, like out of all the radios, like
the Sherwood Report or whatever that.
Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't like a hot thing that I was doing. And then I got it. And once I made my first contact, I was like, this thing is awesome. And
for your first contacts, you were constantly like, dude, I'm able to take the contour and the, you know, dial them in and take out every, all the, like, I was like, okay, God.
Filters.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, the notch. I was like, this thing is awesome. Yeah. So, so that's how I did it. And like I said, I mean, the best thing to do is like, I mean, we're so lucky, like in this day and age to have YouTube and resources. And then you've got your peers, like your other hams, people you're talking to on the radio, people you meet at your clubs, whatever, to all give you advice. And my suggestion is just take it all in and then analyze it and figure out, you know, what's going to work best for you. Because maybe, you know, the DX10 may not be for the guy next to me, but for me, it was the right one at the time. And like I said, I love that radio. I would never trash it. I think it's an excellent radio, and it's a great radio for someone who's in the hobby that wants to, you know, be in it long-term, and it's versatile. You know, you could have it in your shack, or like I'm putting it in a go box. So you can make it a kind of like a go box type radio too. And I did see, I got an alert that it really went down in price again. I mean, it was I got a sale. I don't know what it was for, but I was like, wow, that's a pretty good price for it.
I know the 710, which we haven't touched upon and everybody talks about, is that, you know, is a, I would think in terms of, you know, from the Yaesu line, 710 is kind of what we call, I deem is kind of like the entry level radio of SDR. So, you know, if you want to go, you know, spend less than $1,000, the 710 is probably perfect in that ballpark. Gives you all the kind of same buttons and feel and look as the DX10, but doesn't have some of the advanced technology that they threw in the DX10 that is also in the flagship, you know, 101D or whatever it is. So, you know, there's of evolution.
You know, and when you look at those radios as a new guy, like when I was looking at it, like I was at HRO and I'm like, oh, check out this bad boy. But there were so many damn buttons on it. I'm like, this thing's going to take me like longer than it took me to set up for the general.
It dropped. It was, wow. That is literally $1,000 for the Yaesu.
The DX10, right?
1,049. Yeah. It was originally 1,600. I paid 1,600.
I know. That's what I said. A huge drop.
Wow. Holy moly. And even like the 710 field radio, which is not a field radio. I'm going to stand on a box and tell everybody till the cows come home. It's not a radio you take out in the field with you all the time. Is like sub, you know, $800. So, wow, that's crazy. My gosh.
So, I don't know. Maybe they have an overstock, or maybe they're going to discontinue you. That's why they normally do it, right?
I hope not.
Came out with it, though. Come on. Right. Even if they discontinued it, I'd still recommend it for people. It's a great radio.
Yeah, I mean.
But again, it does a little bit more than the entry level, but it doesn't do everything like the 101 does. And like for someone new and someone like me, like I'm never going to get into, I don't see myself being a contester unless I hit the lottery and I build an antenna farm somewhere, which I don't see that in my future. Mm-hmm. And then if I did do that, then I could get whatever radio I wanted, right? Like it wouldn't be an issue. So I think I made the right choice. And, you know, and every time I pull it out, I always remember why I liked it so much. So
that's actually a good point, Todd. So like, how would you guys rate yourselves in terms of what your HF experience should be or wants to be? Like, do you find, like Todd obviously said he's not a contester, so that really takes him out of a very big or smaller market of certain radios, even though he has one. You know, where do you kind of feel like you sit, Paul?
Well, so I definitely, I wouldn't consider myself a contester, but I do enjoy playing with contests, especially when like Todd, going down this progression of HF. Once I decided on the first brand new radio I was going to buy, that radio is very conducive to contesting. So it makes it really nice. It's nice and easy. I've gotten over my mic fright issues, and now contests are no big deal. But I definitely wouldn't consider myself proficient by any stretch of the word.
Okay. All right. So, but in terms of casual, you're more of a kind of casual operator, or you find yourself, you're a little bit above that level in the sense like you like to get on the radio. It attracts you all the time as much as you can. When you have the time to do it, you play radio.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's great. You get on and you find somebody and you rag chew for 20 minutes, half an hour. Sometimes you in that half an hour, you could log 30 contacts, it all depends. But yeah, I mean, I like to just have fun with it and see kind of where the HF takes me.
So I would say, so basically with what we're saying, guys, is that if you're thinking for an HF radio, meaning the listener, think about what you do. What's your style? Like, how much, do you find you're spending a lot of time playing with the VHF, UHF equipment a lot, and you're actually having a lot of rag chews? Then, you're probably going to carry that same philosophy into your HF experiences and looking for HF nets and, finding, contacts with people. And, or maybe you're more like Paul started, with it being all digital, and, that's where you want to go. So you're going to want to find a radio that ease of use to get the digital components where you don't have to buy 17 other devices to get digital, to work with it. You might have to step up to that next level. So, think in those terms if you're, kind of considering radio before you even think about manufacturer, because I think, would you all agree that, between, manufacturers, the technology is probably about on par with each other? I mean, most of them pretty much offer the same thing. I mean, obviously some have a little bit better receiver, some have a little bit better, transmit component, or have a, other feature built in that, one doesn't have over another.
Yeah, but it's all fairly comparable.
Yeah. Okay.
I think for me, I don't think, at my level, I don't see a 7300 DX10 or even a 991A. I don't know. I might be able to hear someone a little bit better here and there. But for what I'm doing in my shack, at least, I'm not up there. I don't have the equipment. I don't have the towers. I don't have all the, I got a wire hanging up in a tree. So, and I got 100 watts. I don't have any amps or anything. So I think at that level, I think any of those radios are excellent, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of, what do you do? And like for me, I am more of a portable guy than anything else. I do most of my ham radio HF stuff in the park or at the beach or, while I'm mobile. And I didn't plan on doing it that way. It just seems that's where I do most of it. That's where I have most of my, if you look at my log, I'll go on a stint where I'll be home and in the shack doing it, especially in the winter when it's crappy out. But most of my log is mobile activations and mobile contacts.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a good segue here. I mean, I think we kind of narrowed it, or at least summarized, I should say, kind of, if you're looking for your HF rig, it sounds like any one of the rigs that are out there from the big, three manufacturers will fit the bill. It's just, price point. And, whether or not you're, looking to, get in it too cheaply, or, you're looking for use, because use is going to dictate, kind of what's out in the market and what the availability is of that stuff. So, all right. So I guess with that, let's kind of break down the category. So we've obviously got, what I'll call the HOA restriction or restrictive, category, which is where I kind of fall into of portable use. And then there's, the category of, just home dedicated base station. From a standpoint of those configurations, let's talk about the portable stuff, because obviously we mentioned that a lot. We work with a lot of manufacturers and people who build a lot of portable type equipment. And we use it in our own setups and whatnot. What, from a portable standpoint, if you were recommending, say a new technician or a new general came to you and be like, what do you recommend that I go out and spend money on? Or would you give them you know, what would you provide them as a either recommendation for, you know, the type of functionality of the radio or a specific radio, or more so, you know, would you, you know, try to kind of give them more of like, okay, well, what's your budget? Let's work from there type thing. You know, kind of describe that strategy of, you know, if I was Joe Schmoham and, you know, I was looking to get into portable, where would you steer me?
Well, for starters, I wouldn't go QRP.
Okay.
Not that I'm against QRP. No, I just wouldn't, because look it, we had last summer, bands were like kicking easy. Everyone was making activations. You didn't have any problems. Now it's been a little bit, you know, we had that solar flare and it's like messed everything up. Mm-hmm. Right. So the bands of 20 meters has been tough lately. Right. It hasn't been as easy as it used to be. And I'm guessing with 100 watts, I'm probably doing a lot better than if I was on 5 or 10.
Okay.
So I think if you're brand new and you're going to start going doing POTAs or go portable and be out there, you're going to want to make contacts even on the crappy conditions. So that's where I think the 100 watts is probably would be where I would steer someone.
Okay. All right. You agree that same philosophy, Paul? Or
So yes and no. So like with me, with my progression through HF radios, right, my first radio being the 706 Mark II G, which is also a great portable radio. And so it's very easy then to be budget friendly and you go, okay, well, this is my first radio for home. And then, well, now I've got the money that I can buy the new home radio that I want. Now that radio becomes your portable radio until you've, okay, you know, until you've gotten to the point where, you know, say, well, all right, this is filling my needs, but I would like this or I would like that. And then, yeah, 100%. Look at, like, I love what, K0 KLB? Yep. You know, what he does with that G90. Like, I mean, it's amazing. It works for him, you know. The 891 was what I went with. I love that radio for all things portable. It's fantastic. It's slimmer and lighter than the 706. But yeah, just, you know, I guess figure out what's going to work for you. And whether that's, yeah, going full power because, solar activity is not slowing down. You know, or hey, go QRP and, you know, get out there and be the target that everybody wants to find.
All right. So I'm interesting. So my take on all that, I would, my assessment, at least because I feel like I'm a little bit more seasoned in terms of, you know, knowing what's out there, knowing what works, what doesn't work and kind of getting my assessment of someone, if they asked me that question, I think would be, okay, well, have you done any HF at all? And meaning like simple things like have you been to field days? Have you done even an operation there? Do you know what HF, you know, do you know what the HF bands are like? You know, get to know them first before you figure out what you're going to put for radio on the, you know, the air. And then from there, if you've felt and you know, and you've done a few activations, you've played with other people's equipment a little bit, then I would kind of say, okay, well, you know, is QRP a better approach for you? Well, Do you get frustrated fast? Do you not have a good set of, we lost Todd. Let me bring him back in here. there we go. Or no problem. Or, you know, the fact that like, hey, you know, you don't have a lot of time when you play HF. So you want something that's going to just get you out no matter what the conditions, no matter what the propagation is going to be that day. You want to be able to at least have as armed to the teeth is kind of the way I look at it. It's like, you know, I want to have the best money I can afford for antenna wise to get myself that's resonant out. I want to be able to have 100 watts if I need to dial up the 100 watts, you know, and I want to be able to, you know, have all of that, you know, do a very good job when I'm out, you know, in those terrible times. So when the good times come about, you know, heck, you could run it 3.5 watts or 1 watt and, you know, really enjoy, you know, QRP at that level with the same radio. But I think you touched upon it too, Paul, which is that if you only can afford one radio, and I've seen this already, and this is kind of my fight a little bit, is that 710 non-ESS radio is being touted as a field radio. But you figure if you're going to spend only once for right now, maybe that's the radio for the purposes of both having it in the shack and having it out in the field. Now, not a field radio in my mind. I'm not going to lug something like that all the time on a podium, but if that's the only thing I have and that's the only thing I can afford at the time, then yeah, that might be a good fit for you. So I think, you know, from that vantage point, if you're really just, you know, like Paul said, budget constrained and you can't afford multiple rigs, or you just like, you're not sure where to go, buy that one rig that can do many things. And it might give you the benefit of being able to set up something in the shack and then take that out on the road. If you want to take it to field day, or you want to take it on a poda or whatever, and play with it. And then that way you become more familiar with that one radio. And then that might help you decide, oh, well, I like this style, or I want this, you know, feature, or, you know, I want to have a better filter, you know, whatever. Okay. Any other kind of things that triggered anything you guys want to add to that before we kind of dive into our three recommendations?
I just want to say that, the 7300 does come with the optional strap on the side. That is not my first choice for a field radio either. I will take it to field day, but it's a giant pain, like unhooking everything and then taking it. And then, you know, I've got spare power and everything, you know, so I don't have to undo the cords at the desk, but it's just a pain. It's nice.
A lot of work.
Yeah. It's nice to have something that, is smaller and, ready to go.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you all can agree that, you know, once you have your shack established, you don't want to tear it apart ever. If you all can afford, you know, not having to do it. We all agree with that, you know, once it's set up, leave it. Okay, so keep that in mind. If you don't like to, you know, haul stuff and, you know, pull cables out from behind the desk, even if you have them in double or triplicate, it's still a pain in the butt. So, all right. Okay, so, you know, from a portable standpoint, I don't want to kind of get into, you know, specifics radios, because obviously we touched upon them in other areas. But, you know, if you're seeking out certain styles of radios, whether it's like G90 or 891, you know, feel free to email us at livefreeandham @gmail.com, and we'll be glad to help you, decipher some of the pros and cons to each of those radios and work in that route. But so let's kind of wrap up with some of our recommendations. So, you know, when you're buying your first rig, you know, we'll break this into three categories. So it's the budget conscious category, the sub $1,500 radio category, and then, you know, I throw money at the problem to, you know, solve my issues. So using those three categories, what are you guys recommending for your top three? So let's start with the sub, we'll say sub, you know, or we'll call the budget conscious radio. So that's like less than $500 and lower, or free or hand me down or whatever.
Yeah, well, so I mean, under 500, I would definitely have the ICOM 706 Mark IIG on that list. You can sometimes find an 891 sub 500, usually about six, but uh-huh. You know, and both of them are a great choice depending on what you want to do. I think you can get some used Kenwoods on QRZ.com in their forums and stuff. There's lots of good options out there. Figure out what's going to fit your wants and will give you something to grow into. It's my suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Paul? How about you, Todd? Sorry.
You know, I kind of agree with Paul. I mean, I would say if I was under the 1,000 mark and I'm looking like around $500 or so, you know, if you can find an 891, you know, on eBay or used, I would say that would probably be my best one, because you're getting 100 watts. It is compact for an HF 100 watt radio. I've brought mine everywhere. I fly with it, throw it in my backpack. It's very useful and it always works. And you know, it doesn't have waterfalls, and it's the menu's a little cumbersome to go through. But if you're doing portable stuff, like, you don't really need all that stuff. You just need a filter here and there, maybe to take out the static or the noise or something. At least that's been my experience. More in the shack, you have to have more of the filters. So if you're looking for more just portable, I'd say the 891. If you're looking for more in the shack, I think the 706.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll throw a couple of radios in the ring that we didn't mention. And so, If we're looking at sub 500, you can usually sometimes find on a good deal an 857D. And now, if you ever ran into the Yaesu's 857D, it's the precursor to the 891 that no longer made. There are some issues with the 857 that I'm not fully aware on, but you know, a few folks have steered me away from that radio. But that used to be the cutting edge radio, I think, when I was back ham in 91, 92. And it was, you know, at the $1,600, you know, level when, you know, came out. And it was I don't think it was an all mode. I'll have to go back and look at that. And, you know, if someone wants to do a quick Google search on it to see whether it was all mode or not while I'm chit-chatting, that would be kind of the sub 500 for me. The other one that would fall in that one would be the 818. And if you can find an 817, those are less than 100 watts, but are great portable radios. You know, again, if you're not shy to worrying about, you know, 20 watts or 10 watts or whatever, and you just want to get out and play HF, those might be good options. And the 818, I think, is an all mode, good for satellite work too, as well. So,
yep.
That might be one of those kind of crossover, you know, radios that does, all the things for you, or what I call the Swiss Army knife of radios for you. So those can be had, you know, definitely a lot of hams. I think if you get into an Elmer situation or get into a club where the, you know, people are like willing to kind of get you more motivated and give you good deals on radios, because there's always a few in a club that will do that. You know, try to get your hands on one of those three, and that might help you out. But you know, like Todd and Paul recommended, the 891 is, you know, a really good radio to start with. We all kind of cut our teeth on that, and we all love our 891s, and the only way we'd ever get rid of them, I'm sure, would be as if a 705 killer came out and, you know, replaced that altogether in that same form factor, maybe just a little bit bigger. But, you know, hey, well, that's another topic for another day. But,
you know, and I don't even think I'd get rid of mine.
No,
it's been so good to me. It'd be like, you know, always bring it out every once in a while, just for good old time's sake.
It's like that good bourbon or good scotch, you know. You take it out during special occasions, but you know, put it away nice and, you know, comfort.
Oh no, I think that would become the mobile HF.
That I would agree with. Yeah, that's where it's going with me now that Dayton is pretty much all done and over after this episode. So here we go with the 891 install. So keep your eye peeled on the channel for that. All right, so our second category. So this is the sub, we'll say 1500. So this is the 600 to, you know, 1500. Any recommendations kind of in that ballpark that you'd go with, or just, you know, basically say anything would match depending on what you, you know, outside of color, I mean.
Well, I'm going with my DX10, but I'm not putting any negative thing down on the 991A or the 7300. I think any of those radios are good choices. And like I said, when you get good sales, like you said, what was the DX10? Like 1,070 or something?
799.
Crazy. Yeah. Like if you're looking to get one of those three radios, go buy that DX10 right now, because I don't think it's ever going to get lower than that. It's probably the best deal ever.
Yep.
So
I agree. How about you, Paul? What you got?
Well, so that's how I ended up finding my first new radio. It took me a couple field days of playing with a 7300, and I did play with the Yaesu. I think Todd had his DX10 out 1 year. I played with it for a little bit before I had decided to buy mine. But I
should have been there when you did that. But anyway,
yeah, I went with the 7300. I got it on sale, and so it was $900 with a $100 mail-in rebate.
Wow!
You know, so it was great.
And just for the record, Tim, our buddy there, he had both the DX10 and the 7300 for months, and he had played with all of them, and he did. KC1QDK, no, for the record, came out and bought the DX10.
Yes. Not on price only, but in essence, surely purely on the CW side of things. So I think that put him over the side, you know, and made it, you know, his forever home. But yeah, he did. He once again, Tim, we love Tim. Tim does, you know, you give a challenge to Tim and he will take it and make sure that he exercises it upside down, left and right, and and works it all the way out, and he'll come back with a result in some form or fashion as to which way he likes it and why he suggests this one over that. So, you know, he exercised both very heavily, and DX10 came out winning on that one.
It's all about finding what fits you and your and what you're looking to do.
That's exactly it. Yep, I agree 100%. So, I guess from my pick, you know, I don't own a 710. I think if you're going to be shooting sub 1000 710, if you can get the 7300, it's definitely going to be in that same price point, because those tend to be the same kind of, we'll say, class of radio. Now, just a little caveat with those is that 710 just came out. It's less than about two years old. The 7300's been around for a long time, and that shouldn't slam that in any which way. I want to be clear that, you know, I come a hard time sometimes, but in essence, it's a great radio because it's a great technology, and it's just, you know, lasted from when it came out 20 years ago and to today. And so Icom keeps, you know, iterating on that, but not changing their functionality. That's one thing I wish Yaesu, and I said this before, Yaesu, learn how to come up with a menu standards and follow it through all your radio line. I don't care how you do it. Just figure it out. Get it done. I'm tired of it. It's like, you know, I shouldn't have to, you know, learn a little different every time I go to a different radio. Like my 891, I shouldn't have to be any different if I go to my DX10. It should be the same, you know, menuing system as much as, you know, you possibly can make it that way.
You know, maybe their thought behind that is like kind of like now I do Apple, I do PC. And you do it long enough, you just kind of, it's like muscle memory. You just adapt to it and change. True. So maybe that's why they do it. But I agree with you. I like the Icom the same. I like the way you can go from the 7300 to the 705 and you can, it's the same. It's exactly the same. So if you have a 7300 and you decide, man, I'm getting in the Cure, I'm getting that 705. I mean, you don't even have to learn it. It's just there. You just know how to do it.
It's literally they took a third of the 7300 right off the front and said, here's the 705. Right. They couldn't have made it any better.
Here's all your wattage is gone.
Yeah. Well, right. True. But hey,
90 watts is gone.
We gave you portability, Bluetooth, and a whole buttload of other stuff out of the gate that none of the other competitors have or do. And then, you know, heck, we're going to build we haven't even talked about any of the satellite stuff. It's like, hey, we're going to build a whole 905 line and make it look like the 705 line. And, you know, you can do anything between, you know, satellite to microwave to VHF to UHF to whatever. And it's all the same no matter what it looks. So, yeah, kudos to them to keep.
You know, and it's funny because I've talked to like a lot of guys, and you don't have to be, even though we joke about like Yaesu, Icom, whatever, you don't have to be one brand only. I think it's kind of cool that we have the ability, and ham radio work with any brand really. So, you know, if you want to mix and match, go for it. You know, I think that would be like, if, like, put it this way, if Icom came out with a 705 that was 100 watts, like I'd be buying it the next day.
Yep.
I would even be- though I'm a Yaesu guy, right? I like, that was my first, I have Yaesu mobile rigs, Yaesu HDs, but if they came out with that, or Kenwood or anyone, I'd probably jump all over that.
Yep. Yeah, I would be the same way. And totally.
Just take my money.
Take my money. So that's all what I'm about when it comes to that stuff. So, all right. So
can't bring it with you when you're gone, right?
I'm with you 100%.
Might as well spend it.
Don't bury my radios with me, Mom. Sorry. Or wife. All right. So our last category, the proverbial buy once, cry once, you know, throw money at the problem. You know, obviously, Todd and I, you know, kind of had the flex is there. I mean, Paul, obviously, where would your dream radio go if you had no issue with just, you know, wherever? Would you stay Icom camp, or would you go more true SDR? Would you go Sun? What?
Well, so, I mean, like Todd, I've got both, right? Yes, my desk radios are Icom, but I've got Yaesu in the truck, and I've got a Yaesu HT. I do enjoy Yaesu. I guess if I had all the money in the world and money wasn't an option, I'd join the Flex Party. I'd get the top of the line one.
Wow. Okay. That'd look good to hear. And I was surprised you wouldn't go the 7610, which is pretty much, you know, you know, kind of in that same ballpark as the Flex community outside of just being all software based. But yeah, okay, cool.
Well, I did see the new Flex radio with the big display on the front, and that looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
But you could also get the Maestro, which is a portable display.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. You could have your radio somewhere else, like in your closet, and you could have your nice display that is exactly the same as the one built into the radio, but it's portable.
Oh, there you
everywhere
go.
Everywhere or anywhere in the world.
Everywhere you go. You're at the hotel, just bring that with you.
Connect to the Wi-Fi and you're on your Flex. Yep.
Pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. All right. So Todd, what's your call there? Money was not an object and you just spend it freely. What would you go for?
Yeah, I'd say the Flex. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the Flex at first. I didn't understand what the big hype was. Bill was in W1WRA, our president, swore by it, says it's awesome. I just couldn't understand it. Didn't have any buttons. It was all computer. And then I started messing around with it, and I was like, holy crap, this is the best radio. I mean, you can literally just take every ounce of noise, wherever it is, and just delete it.
Shut it out.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's and what's cool about it is like they always update it, so it's all software, so it's constantly getting like new radio, and as long as the thing keeps working, mm-hmm. and it's been great. And I love that I can get on it on my phone, my iPad, you know, when I'm doing those overnight shifts, you know, being able to play radio when I'm bored middle of the night, it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm with you. If it was money was no you know, no matter, no issue, I would like to kind of dabble into the Sun, you know, realm. It's kind of the counterpart to Flex, just to see their true SDR, pure signal kind of, you know, company. Their units are like, you know, sub $6,000-$7,000, you know, units. So, you know, I have no idea. I've seen some of them in action, seen, you know, kind of how they play. But, you know, if I had, you know, I'm already in the Flex camp, love my Flex. It's a great radio. It's the 6400. So I only have one of the spectral capture unit, which, you know, at this point, I don't know if I need another one quite yet. I haven't realized the benefit of having two transmits because I'm like, I can barely manage one at this point. So, you know, it would be just more like, hey, you know, I'm the Joneses and, you know, I live down the street and I have two. But then at that point, I'm like, okay, I need a Nintendo Switch and, you know, everything else to go with it.
The other thing you could do is if money wasn't an option, you know, you could get an antenna for each band and a radio for each band in your shack. And you could literally have every band, every radio going all at once. And I know that that's how contesters do it, that they have huge antennas, 1,000 watts, specialized radio antenna just for that.
Yep.
And then they want to go to 40 meters, they just slide their butts over and oh, here's the 40 meters.
A lot of times they don't even do that. Sometimes it's just like, oh, 40 meters, click, boom, everything's all connected. Now you're on 40.
Yeah. Right.
Which, yeah.
Automated all.
We're going to have Ryan schedule a time to go up and, you know,
we'll I know. To I want to see that
contest, guys, in New Hampshire.
Or, you know, if we're a Saudi prince or Arab prince who decided that he wanted to have his own repeater in space. He just, what did he do? He launched his own rocket with his own satellite. So he has VHF, UHF hanging over the Middle East for just him for to himself. Play with.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's some dedication to your hobby, if you ask me.
It's some crazy money, my friend. Crazy money. All right. Well, let's try to bring this back to reality.
GoFundMe. We want a satellite on the East Coast. So please start donating. We need a rocket ship, a satellite, and a launching site.
Come on, Elon.
Yeah, on top of you know, Diane's kitchen, so Todd can get his tower antenna farm. Just piling up there. All right. Well, cool. So let's kind of put a bow on this a little bit. So it sounds like, you know, any last kind of things that we might want to relay to, you know, a new ham that you know, is looking in HF gear that you know, we will want to part some words of wisdom to them as they're kind of looking, or, you know, any direction that you want to point them in.
Play, 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 and then play some more.
Yeah. Get on the air, and you make the right choice for you. you know, do your research, have fun watching videos, and try to get, if you're fortunate enough, you can get to a store that has the radios that you can try out. It's always fun to push the knob or turn the knobs, push the buttons and get a feel for it, see what you like about it. But you're not going to go wrong on any of the radios that we talked about. The whole point is getting on the air and making contacts, and you'll definitely do that with any of those radios.
That is true. All right. Well, I would say the only thing to throw on that to add as a bolt on would be that, you know, if you're in a local club, I would say go find a bunch of different hams, ask them what they run, ask them if you can go to their shacks and see how they operate their radio. Obviously, field day is coming up, so you'll be able to get a chance to get your hands on and touch and play in a real world experience. You know, all those radios. Really, don't be afraid to get in there and ask a lot of questions, because hams love to talk about their gear. You know, we do it all the time here on the show. And, you know, it's not that it's any different in any club or any other, you know, ham activity. People always love to talk about their radios. So ask as many questions as you can. You know, that's way you'll learn, and then you'll be able to make more of an educated decision, and you won't feel like you threw away, you know, a boatload of money to buy your first radio. And, you know, God forbid, I would wish that upon anybody. It's like, you know, you want to get into the hobby, you want to have fun, like we all said, you want to make contacts. So get a radio that, you know, you've had some experience with and try, and, you know, go through the process. You don't have to buy the flagship radio. And my advice is to any new ham, don't buy the flagship radio. Go out and try something basic, and learn how filtering works and how radios work before you get into like some of the advanced bells and whistles, because it'll make your experience that much better.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, so let's wrap this up. As always, you know, thanks again for joining Live Free and Ham, our podcast community. And remember, if you haven't subscribed, what have you been doing? And I'm keying this up late. All right. Well, so as always, you can reach out to all three of us or the Live Free and Ham crew here by heading over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop to pick up any of our swag. If we see you wearing it at any ham fest, we will make sure we seek you out, and we will reward you for your due diligence. And as always, don't forget about our do good section for our clubs. We want to hear about all the good, great stuff that you are doing or your club is doing in your area, because we want to promote that and show the world that, you know, there's good clubs out there doing some awesome stuff for the hobby. And as always, you can support our show through our Patreon and buy us a beer links, because Todd needs a new antenna farm. And apparently now we need a new satellite for global, you know, VHF, UHF access. And as always, all those links are found and conveniently located in our show notes and on our website. And if you want to reach any of our hosts, all the contact info is on our website at livefreeandham.com. And as always, thank you again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3.
7-3, guys.